We thank you for listening to the weekly sermon of First United Methodist Church, Missouri City, Texas. We're a church that's making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. For more information about the church and its ministries, or how we can pray for you, visit us on the web at fumcmc.org. If you desire to make a quick contribution in support of our ministries, you can text to give. Simply text the amount you want to give to 281-369-4870 and follow the instructions. And now, as you listen, we hope that you find this podcast meaningful and transformational in your journey of faith.
Okay, for those of you that don't know me, this may be your first time here. I'm the children's director here at First United Methodist Church, and I have to say it is an absolute privilege to be standing in front of you today. Now, if you know me, some of you may know this or may not know this, but I was adopted when I was 2 weeks old. My parents received the information, you know, birth parents height and different things like that, and they gave my parents my history. Okay, and on that history page, it said that a percentage of my heritage was native to this land. Now, if you know me well, you know that I'm a daydreamer, and my mind goes 1 million miles an hour, 24/7. And I try to slow it down, I just can't. So I often find myself daydreaming that maybe my descendants were great Apache warriors, or maybe the Comanches of the Texas Panhandle were part of my heritage. But here's the thing. I don't know if it's because of that daydreaming and the possibility of what my history is. I've always been fascinated with the indigenous people of what is now the United States. Now, everything from their language to their spirituality to their traditions. But in particular, the thing that fascinates me most is their naming traditions. Now, I'm going to age myself for just a second, and I want to show you this clip from a film of the 90s. How many of you remember this movie? Anybody? Now, it's hard to see the subtitles, so I'm just going to kind of tell you what's going to happen right here after this. Now, these natives said to each other, "This white man is special, and he needs a name." And this is the name they gave him. I'm not going to try to pronounce it, but you guys can figure it out. And this is what the name means: Dances with Wolves. Now, this is a little different than natives would probably be named. However, it shows how important the actions are, and your actions, our actions are, at identifying and receiving that name. But this is how I'm going to make you get up now, and I know y'all love this. I want you to play along with me. In a second, you're going to get up, and you're going to greet each other. And if you know the person next to you, they are going to tell you what your name would be. If you don't know the person next to you, I want you to tell them what you think people might call you. For example, Marie Abbott would be the preschool whisperer. Marty Verschel, if you don't know this, is the meatball master. Okay? And then my lovely husband is patient. He is patient, but he is my lovable, lovable giant. So, if you could please stand, greet one another, and tell each other your name. come back. Y'all come back now. Everybody come back. Come back, come back. Okay, so here's what I want to know. Does anyone want to share the name that your spouse gave you? Anyone? Anyone? Anyone want to share their name at all? What do you got? You have one? Yeah. She said little big mouth. It's Meatball. You're the meatball? Are you the meatball, Lillian? Okay. Any adults out there? Jill, what did Marty give you? About his patience. Okay. Nora, what do you got? The what? Lover of cats. See, here's the thing. These things are something that people are recognized or remembered by, and I hope that they were all positive. I really hope they were all positive. Now, here's the thing. Luke introduces us to a guy in the book of Acts that kind of gets his name the same way Kevin Costner did in the film, okay? If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts 4, 32 through 36, so we can get a tiny little backstory. The community of believers was in one heart and mind. None of them would say, "This is mine," about any of their possessions, but held everything in common. The apostles continued to bear powerful witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and an abundance of grace was at work among them all. There were no needy persons among them. Those who owned properties or houses would sell them, bring the proceeds from the sales, and place them in the care and under the authority of the apostles. Then it was distributed to anyone who was in need. See, Luke is talking about here how they're all living as one, helping each other, making sure anyone in need got help. Then Luke tells us about our man of the hour and one of the first things that show his character. And I'm going to continue with Acts 36 through 7. Joseph, whom the apostles nicknamed Barnabas, was a Levite from Cyprus. He owned a field, sold it, brought the money, and placed it in the care and under the authorities of the apostles. Now, this is where we meet our guy Barnabas, but all through Acts, we see him do some pretty amazing things. And what I left out of the scripture on purpose and didn't tell you was that when the apostles changed Joseph's name, that name showed exactly what he was about and who he was. The name Barnabas actually means son of the encourager or the encourager. And all through his life, that is exactly what he was, not only with his words, but with his actions. Now, as a new school year begins, we all have the opportunity to be a Barnabas to someone else. That means if you're a kid, if you're a parent of grown kids, if your kids are still living at home, if you're retired, if you're a teacher, if you're a person with no children, anyone that is breathing has the opportunity to be a Barnabas. Since everyone is included, let's take a look at some of the things that Barnabas did that made his name mean something, and let's see how we can mirror his heart. Okay, so when we first introduced to Barnabas, he had just given away his land to help the greater good, and he had a very, very generous heart with material things. And I love this. He lived to give. Okay, now I'm not asking you to give up your land or anything like that, but I'm going to put my public school educator hat on for just a second and be very, very transparent with you. Over the last 5 years, I've been at this church and personally witnessed the extreme generosity of the people here in this room, from Vacation Bible School help with kids and volunteers, your support with the youth at UM Army, and you constantly come through for those kids over at Armstrong Elementary. And I have to say, it is so heartwarming and wonderful. But I have to admit something, and this is where I'm putting that teacher hat on for a second. We often forget about the teachers. Okay? There's a chance that there are teachers right now spending the last few minutes and hours and weeks of their summer vacation preparing for your kids, for our kids. And this is after they spent the entire summer at professional development and learning and growing to better themselves, again, to help our kids. And if you've never stepped into a teacher's household, you would probably be really blown away by the things that you don't see, the behind the scene things, right? Like the teachers that are putting the little names of kids on every single thing in their classroom, or the crates that they make out of milk containers for their kids to sit on to learn better. Now, here's the thing. If a teacher was to decorate their room with the supplies that the district gave them, this is what it would look like. It's quite sad. It's quite sad. Now, the thing is, these teachers spend so much money out of pocket to create rooms like this. I think it's pretty amazing when you see the stark contrast of the two, and it's quite scary. But it says a lot what these teachers are doing for our kids, and we can help them. Okay? Teachers have wish lists. Every time you go into a classroom, be it open house, meet the teacher, and they'll have stickies on the board sometimes. Just take a sticky off and buy them a ream of paper, right? It's super, super simple. Now, there's a site called Donors Choose, thank you. Donors Choose, where teachers have created projects and things, and then you can go on to that website and decide what teacher you want to help, and you don't even have to know them, right? You guys came through with our friend Aston that came to visit with us, and several of y'all donate to her program, and she was able to get some laptops for her students. So you guys are really good at this. Now, the thing that's been going on through social media this last, I'd say probably 6 weeks or so, is the Amazon wish list, okay, where teachers create their wish list, and you can just hop on a wish list and then just go buy it, and then the stuff is sent right to the teacher. Don't even have to know these people. It's as simple as that. See, monetary encouragement sometimes seems a little awkward, and we're not quite sure how to go about things like that. But when you are giving monetarily to teachers, it tells them, hey, I love what you're doing, and I respect what you're doing, and I appreciate what you're doing for my kid and for all of those kids out there. So what I challenge you is to find your way to be a Barnabas, and you guys go ahead, and me too, live to give. Okay, so the next time we see Barnabas is in Acts 9:26. You see, Saul had been persecuting Christians, but after encountering Jesus on the Damascus Road, Saul, later known as the Apostle Paul, turned from violently persecuting Christians to preaching the very gospel he had once despised. See, the problem, guys, with the apostles is that they did not think that Saul had actually changed his ways until Barnabas. See, Barnabas believed in the work of Jesus in Paul's heart and his life, and he convinced the apostles of Saul's newly found way of living. I want you to think about this. His words must have been so profound and impressive to make people actually believe that. Because back in the early church, there was no internet. Things could not go viral, right? There was no witness of that was online for the whole world to see in 2.3 seconds, right? It was all because of Barnabas's word of mouth, by what he was saying, by Barnabas believing in him. Barnabas was a champion for Paul at the time that he needed it the most. See, we sometimes forget how our words can make or break someone. And so I'm gonna share a little story today, and I might get emotional, but it's been really fresh in my own mind the last 6 months. And the best part is that the story actually is not finished yet. And it happens to be about a teacher, but it really can be applied to anyone. Okay? So I have a 14-year-old daughter, Lauren. She's over there. I'm probably embarrassing her. When she was maybe in first grade, she decided she was going to start trying to play basketball. And I have to admit, if you've ever seen first graders play basketball, it is painful. It is very, very painful. Now, so she continued that basketball each season as that it came up. And then in seventh grade, she decided to try out for her team at school, her junior high team. And she made it. And again, it was pretty painful. It was very painful to watch on some days. Now, her biggest problem, though, wasn't what she could or could not do. Okay? It was the confidence she had in herself. She did not have much of it at all. Now, she fought through the entire season trying to do her best, but did not really see herself as good as the other girls. Then eighth grade started, and things started to change. Slowly. And that was because of her coach. See, if Lauren did something good, Coach Jones would look her dead in the eye, and tell her that, and tell her what she did good. And the best part is that she was often very vocal and loud, and she was full of excitement. It was so contagious. That coach poured her heart out on Lauren and her whole entire team. And I will tell you this, in the end, they actually won the district championship. Now, but what I saw in Lauren at home, there was change. See, it's not all about basketball, y'all, it's not. She became more confident, right? She became more confident. She was less shy. If you know her now, you're like, what? She's shy? She was so shy, right? She became a huge lover of basketball. Andrew limits her when she goes outside now. You've got 10 minutes. You cannot stay out. It's 112 degrees outside, right? And it has changed her, right? She started playing better because she believed in herself. Because, see, just like Barnabas was a champion for Saul/Paul, Coach was a champion for Lauren. Coach was that champion for Lauren. And through this entire summer, Coach has still continued to cheer her on. And whatever the future holds for Lauren in basketball, I will accredit that to Coach Jones. Now, Emily will be coming up to junior high in a few years, and I have to say, I cannot wait for her to be able to work under someone that has such a big heart. And about 2 minutes before I went up to preach, Coach Jones walked through the door. So if Coach Jones, if you could please stand up. We can easily focus on the flip side of encouragement, y'all, but when encouragement is absent from life, people feel unloved and unimportant and useless and forgotten, and they never may realize their true potential. See, God knows we are in need of grace-filled reminders, so he calls us to encourage each other every single day. You don't have to be the world's biggest Barnabas to be an encourager. Anyone can do it, be it the small things for teachers or words that grow confidence. Every single thing counts. Now, I have to admit, the last few weeks, my head has been a little wonky and my heart has been a little off. And I had a really tough time with these words today. But when I was at the very, very height of my frustration and wanting to call Marty and say, I'm doing what? I don't want to do it anymore. And tears. I got a text from a person that isn't one of my normal texting people, so it kind of surprised me. And this is what it said. Hey, I wanted you to know that I have been thinking of you and praying for you regarding your sermon tomorrow. I know that it'd be inspiring and awesome because that's who you are to me and to many others. Now, y'all, it took this person 7 seconds to type that, and every single one of us has 7 seconds to change a heart or make things easier or even change the course of someone's life. And I know this. God is calling you to be a Barnabas to someone. He is calling me to be a Barnabas to someone, to see and believe in them the same way that God does.
And now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, give you peace both now and forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit go from this place. And may the peace and the love and the grace of God go with you. And may you know, may you remember, may you never forget that there is nothing you can do, nothing that will ever make God love you less. Because when God sees us, he doesn't see the mistakes that we make. He simply says, wow, you're nothing but the best of the best of the best. And can you imagine for just a moment what your day might be like if you lived it believing that? I think you'd have a good day.